بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين، واللعنة على أعدائهم أجمعين. We discussed about in the حروف الشمسية والحروف القمرية, the sun letters and the moon letters, and I gave you that homework, and so it is very important to practice as much as you can. Open up the Holy Quran and you can practice, and you can see whenever you encounter those words, so that you, at the time you are reciting Quran, you are not reluctant and you don't have to think for a longer time, because you have already practiced so much that you can easily distinguish quickly and move forward. So that's the way it has to be. We don't have to spend time at the time of recitation to just recalling and recalling for a longer duration. So this I'll give you a few more words for a quick practice, like here are some of the words that you can, I can read it for you. Qarura means a jar. Nabil means genius. Thalab means a fox in Arabic. Zihab means going. Matar is the rain. Qazifa means a bomber. Shahina means a truck that carries the load. Butlan means falsehood. Naqus means the bell. And Taqwa means piety. Alim means knowledgeable. Suraya is the name of a star. Dehqan means a farmer. Taklima means talking. Feruza means the famous stone which we call turquoise. Turquoise is Feruza. And Iqlab means making a change. So these are some examples of various words. You can write down those words and bring it in the next class, inshallah, as a practice words. So we know more. The more you practice, the more you become efficient at the time of reading and will not lose time. So please write it down so you can bring it in the next class. Yeah, you just have to put the alif and then write down the word by putting an alif and lam on the top and then write under it whether this word is a sun letter or a moon letter. Write under it sun letter, moon, sun, moon. So I know that you have understood it properly. Is it okay? Have you written down the words? Okay. Are you done? Okay. Okay. Now today's lecture is related to the subject of al-haraka, and the plural is al-harakat. That's the plural. What we mean by that are the signs that we put on top of the words, like this, and under the word, the signs that we put like this, on top of the words or under the word. That's what we call them haraka. Each single sign is called the haraka. Uski harakat jo kehlati hai. And we also use the word i'rab. What is the, somebody asked you, what's the i'rab al-kalima? I'rab, we are talking about the same thing. You know, somebody is asking you, what is the i'rab of the kalima? That means, let's suppose a word is written like this. So somebody asks you, what's the i'rab of the kalima? So what he is asking is that you put harakat on that word. And you have to put the kasra here, and the jazm here, and the fatha here, and there's a jazm here always. And then noon, that depends on the in the sentence, when it comes in the sentence. That's related to the mustahak of the huruf, not the haq. So this is dehqan. You would say it is dehqan. So this is, these are the i'rab of the word. By when you put the harakat, you are giving the i'rab of the word. So that's the lecture of today. And the definition of the of a haraka is alamatun تدخل على آخر الحروف تعطيها صوتا خاصا Definition of these harakat grammatically. Alamat means signs. So harakat are the signs tadkhulu ala akhir al-huruf that enter at the end of the alphabets. Tu'tiha, and these signs give the alphabets sultan khasan, a special voice. Each of these signs give a specific voice to the alphabets. When they enter on the alphabets, they give them a specific voice. So because of these signs, when we are reciting each of the alphabets, you have to read those alphabets with some specific voice. So this is how we define the harakat. So it is we should remember that basically these are this harakat is, let's suppose this is a word and then you write down this one on top, we call it vamma. There's a ta, but when we stop according to the rule of the grammar, and we learn about the rulings of ta as well later on. So we recite it like a ha. So instead of saying zamma, zammat, we say it lamma, because we are stopping at the end of the word. So you convert the ta into a ha when you stop. So this is called lamma. In Urdu we call it pesh. And this one is called, which is written on top of the word, like a slanted dash. This is called fatha. In Urdu we call it zabar, dhamma, fatha, and then what is written under a word like a slanted dash is called fatha. That's how you will pronounce it, fatha. And what is written under the word, we call it, in Arabic, we call it kasra. Kasra. In Urdu, we call it zair. Vamma. So this sign is called vamma. This sign is called fatha. And this sign is called kasra. Vamma, fatha, and kasra. And the sign that I wrote it here at the end, this one is also written like a small dal alphabet of Arabic. This one is called sukoon. 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 We'll come to the sukoon as well after we are done with those three. So let's first talk about those three and then we'll come to this one later. So you remember that the sign of lamma is always written on top of the alphabet. The sign of fatha is also always written on top of the alphabet. And the sign of kasra is always written under the alphabet. So here we have the so many examples in front of you already. There's a sentence written in front of you. So we have this fatha written on top of the alphabet ayn. We have this another fatha written on top of the alphabet lam. And I did not write the jazm sign intentionally, because in Arabic you don't need to write the jazm sign on top of an alif, because it is understood, because alif in the Arabic language always has a jazm. So it's understood. So it's never written on top of the alif. You never find the sign of jazm, because always understood. Alif always has jazm and sukoon on top of it. So there's no need to write that sign. Then there's another example of fatha, which is written on top of meem. There also there's a jazm, which is understood, because again it's an alif, so we don't need to write it. Then there's a tanween. We will discuss the subject of tanween, where two vammas together on top of each other. That's another thing we discuss later on. Then there's a fatha on top of ta. There's a jazm sign here on dal. There's a vamma sign on top of ha. There's another vamma on top of lam, and so on. You find all these harakat written on the words, on those alphabets. Now, it is important to remember that the vowels in Arabic are three in total, and those three are waw, the alphabet waw, and that's how we pronounce it, waw, and the alphabet ya. And the alphabet alif. These are three vowels in Arabic language. Basically, the vowels are actually, in the real sense, they're only two. Alif is not a vowel. Alif is considered to be a vowel only if a waw gets converted into an alif, because of grammatical reasons, or if a ya gets converted into an alif because of grammatical reasons. So those of the alif which gets converted from a waw, it was initially a waw, and those of the alif that got converted from a ya because it was initially a ya, those of the alif we consider them to be a vowel, because actually they were waw in the real sense. We go back to the root of the word, or actually it was a ya if you go back to the root of the word. So actually in Arabic the vowels in the real sense are two. So in the real sense the vowels are two, but there are a lot of instances where waw gets converted into an alif and ya gets converted into an alif because of grammatical reasons, and those alif are also large in number. So we, in a general sense, we do say there are three vowels to make it simple for the people to understand. So there are three vowels in Arabic, waw and ya and alif. Now the sound of each of those harakat are in sync and harmonious with the sounds of each of these vowels. This is a very important point that needs to be clear in our minds. In Arabic, the vowels are called huruful illah. Al-illah in Arabic means sickness. We call them the sick letters in Arabic. Vowels are called the sick letters. We call them sick letters because they are the ones who cannot withstand the changes. When grammatical situations take place, they are weak. They give in and surrender and allow the changes to take place inside them. So we call them the sick letters. If they were strong letters, they would not allow any change to take place inside them, no matter what conditions they face. So because they allow changes to take place, because they are present in a word, they allow the changes and variations to take place. So this shows their weakness and sickness. We call them the sick letters. So huruful illah, sick letters, the vowels. Okay, now each of these vowels correspond to those harakat, like I explained, So waw is an alphabet that corresponds to the harakat of dhamma, and ya is an alphabet that corresponds to the harakat of kasra, and alif is an alphabet that corresponds to the harakat of fatha. Okay? This has to be very, very clear in your minds. Alif is in sync with the harakat of fatha written on top of the alphabet. Ya is in sync with the harakat of kasra written under the alphabet. And waw is in sync with the harakat of dhamma, which is written on top of the alphabet. What is the benefit of making these things in sync and harmonious with each other? The benefit is that it makes you understand it is already in sync. But when we realize that, it makes us understand the voice. Because we are talking about the Sultan Khas and the special voice that comes out after you put those harakat on top or under the alphabets. So we need to learn that specific voice so that we can pronounce it properly. So when we understand that these vowels are in sync with those harakat, then we will be able to understand that specific voice related to each of those harakat, those signs. Now the voice is exactly the same voice of a waw alphabet. What is the waw alphabet? Waw, how does it sound? You know, when you have put a waw in Arabic, like the word, remember we just discussed the word nahus. I told you it means a bell. Nahus. So here it's a waw. So what's the sound of a waw? Oo. Isn't that right? Nahus. You, in English, if you want to say it, you will say nahus. So this is the sound of a waw. Oo. That's the sound of a waw. So when we understand that the alphabet waw is in sync with the harakat of dhamma, so now it will be easy for understand what is the voice of dhamma whenever you put it on top of an alphabet. The voice of dhamma is exactly the same in its nature like the voice of waw. And the voice of waw is oo. So the voice of dhamma is also oo, except that this has half of the stretch. Half of the stretch of a waw. Half of the stretch. So how much do you stretch when you're sounding waw? Oo. Make it half in the length, and that will generate the voice of dhamma. Oo. The voice of dhamma is oo, which is half of the voice stretch of waw, which is oo. That's how we understand. So let's go to ya, the voice of ya. What is the voice of ya? Another word that I just mentioned minutes ago to you was aleem. Remember? The knowledgeable. Aleem. So here's the ya. That's example of ya. What is the voice of ya? Let's write it in English. Aleem. Isn't that right? So this is the voice of ya coming here. E. E. The voice of alphabet ya in Arabic is E. So the voice of kasra is exactly harmonious in nature with the voice of ya. And the ya is E. Kasra is also the same, except that you have to stretch it half of the length. So it's half the stretch of E, half the stretch of ya. The same voice, but half the stretch of voice. So instead of saying E, you say E. Half the stretch. So you can say kasra is half of ya. If you want, you can say that. That's okay. So dhamma is half in its stretch of voice, half of waw alphabet. That's okay. And likewise, alif. What is the voice of alif? Here we have a word akhir. That's an example of alif. So how do we say it? Akhir. You know, this is the alif part of it. A. So the voice of alif in Arabic is a. The voice of fatha which is written on top of the alphabet, is exactly the same in its essence to the alif, except that the stretch of voice is half. The voice here for alif is ah. You make it half in stretch, it will become ah. That's the voice of fatha, half of the stretch. So if you want, you can say alif is fatha is half of alif. That's okay, you can say that. So waw is half of dhamma, and ya is half in its stretch of voice, half of kasra, and alif is equal to half of the stretch of voice of a fatha. That's how it is. So one alif, or if you want, you can say one waw alphabet is equal to a dhamma plus a dhamma. And then half waw plus half waw. Isn't that right? So the voice of waw is equal to two dhammas, and the voice of ya is equal to two a kasra plus a kasra. Half of kasra plus half of kasra, half of ya plus half of ya is equal to one ya. Half of the alphabet ya, half of the stretch of the voice of the alphabet ya. Likewise, alif, if you want, you can say, is equal to a fatha plus a fatha. That means half of the stretch of the voice of an alif. And again, half of the stretch of the voice of an alif, half and half is equal to one alif. If you want, you can say that. That's the way it is. So, logical way to understand, mathematical way and logical way to understand the pronunciation in Arabic. The waw voice is oo. So, dhamma has the same voice, but half in size. Half in the stretch of voice. Oo. Ya's voice is e. Kasra has the same voice, but half the stretch, e. Alif's voice is a. Fatha's voice is the same, but half the stretch, a. Is it clear? This has to be clear in your mind. So let me erase this to... So that's why the very common examples that we say in Urdu, like, you see, some people write this spelling like Zahra. Isn't that right? This is not Zahra, because Zah, you're pronouncing it Zah, Zahra, Eh, Zah, Zah, Eh. It's not the voice of Eh. Is the voice of ah. Remember, we just learned it. Ah. It's not eh. You don't need to say zeh, zehra, zeh, eh. It's not eh, it's ah. You have to say it like zah, ah. And if you want to be more particular, it has to be double A because there's a mud at the end, according to Arabic. Zahra. It's not zehra. Likewise, Mahdi. That's how some people say it commonly. Mahdi. It's not Mahdi, because Mahdi, you're saying, making the voice of meh, meh. It's not meh, it's ma. The voice of fatha is half that of alif. Half of the alif. Alif's voice is ah. Make it half, ah. Mah, ah. Mahdi. See? Mahdi. So, and somebody who wants to be more and more particular, it has to be like this, Mahdi, because of the shad at the end. So, but it is Mahdi, it's not Mahdi, because the voice of fatha is similar to alif, and the voice, but the half in stretch. So alif's voice is a, and fatha would be a, after the A. So it is ma, ma, mahdi. It cannot be mehdi, like some writers like this, meh. Meh means air. It's not the A word, it's air. This is wrong. Although if in the prayers somebody doesn't take care of this thing, it's not wajib. You can, I mean, somebody, let's suppose for a moment there's something you have to say in the prayers and it says Mahdi, and you say it instead of calling it Mahdi, you say it Meh. Your prayers will not be batil, but that is the original Arabic pronunciation. As we are learning Tajweed, we should be learning the original one. Although it's not batil, if we make this type of mistake, it is not batil in the prayers. Likewise, example of Dhamma, Iyaka Na'budu. You only we worship. Isn't that right? Iyaka Na'budu. So here is the example of Dhamma. The voice of Dhamma is like a wow, but half the stretch. What is the voice of vowel? Ooh. We already learned that. To make it half. Ooh. Iyaka na'budu. Na'budu. Instead of saying na'budu. Bo is not the voice. It's na'budu. The voice of vowel is ooh. It's not o. It's ooh. Likewise, the voice of dhamma is half the stretch. So we say na'budu. Not na'budu. Na'budu. But again, if somebody makes this mistake, his prayers is not batil, but that's the original Arabic pronunciation. Is it clear? Harakat. In Arabic, these are the three harakat, and that's how these are the sounds that it provides to the alphabet. Okay, let's go to some examples. Can I erase all this? الحمد Okay, here are some examples, very common ones. Alhamdu, instead of saying Alhamdu, Alhamdu, Alhamdu. I already said if you don't say it like this, your praise is not batil, but that's the real Arabic pronunciation. Alhamdu lillahi, instead of saying lillahi, it's not lillahi, it's lillahi, lillahi, rabbil Alameen. Okay? Qul huwallahu. Huwallahu. Not huwallahu. Huwallahu. Hu. Hu. Huwallahu. Ahad. Iza. Not instead of saying if. Iza. Iza. Not a. E. Not a. E. Iza zulzilatil, make it half. Iza zulzilatil arzu, not arzu,
الأرض إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها.
Is it clear? Okay. Now, the sukun sign which I told you is written like this, a small dal on top of the alphabet. There is another confusion of the circle. Circle is not the sign of sukun. Circle is the sign of silent alphabet. In Arabic, you put it on top of the silent alphabets. So those of the alphabets which are silent, for example, qalu, that's a very common word that you encounter in Arabic. Qalu ulaika. Two examples. Is qaf has a fatha, alif is silent. We don't write it, I already told you usually, but I wrote it to make you understand. But otherwise, we don't write the sign of jazm, the sign of sukoon, on top of an alif, because it's understood in Arabic, the alphabet alif is always, always, always sakin. Any alphabet which has a sukoon on top of it is called sakin, because it has a sukoon on it. Sakin. So we call it a sakin alphabet because it has the alamat and sign of sukoon on top of it. So alif is always sakin. It always has a sukoon on it. Like every any alphabet that has a dhamma on it, we call it mazmoom. Any alphabet that has a fatha on top of it, we call it maftuh. Any alphabet that has a kasra under it, we call it maksoor. And any alphabet that has a sign of sukoon on top of it is called sakin. So an alphabet in Arabic is either sakin or mazmoom, it has a dhamma on top of it, or maftuh, it has a sign of fatha on top of it, or maksoor, it has a sign of kasra under it, or in some cases it is silent, so it has a sign of jazm on top of it, and it is not recited. And the examples, some of the examples are here. So alif, we don't need to put the sign of sukoon because it's understood grammatically. It is always sakin in Arabic language. But I wrote it here to make you understand. And lam has a dhamma, waw has a sukoon. And alif, I put this sign of silent alphabet because it is not recited. You have to ignore it. It's silent, as if it's not there. But it is written because of a grammatical reason. But you don't read this alif. You just ignore it because it's a silent alphabet. Likewise here, waw is a silent alphabet. It's not recited. So you read it as if it is written like this. Ulaika. Ulaika. Ignoring the waw. You don't, just as if it's not there because it's a silent waw. Ulaika. Okay? So here is about sukoon. And so don't confuse these two signs. It's a very common confusion. Some of the books which are not as particular about the laws, they, when they're writing the Arabic, instead of putting jazm, actually they're putting sukoon like this, everywhere. And this is not the right way. This is an incorrect presentation. Because you are putting, using the sign of a circle, which is for silent alphabets. You are putting the sign of the circle for silent alphabets on top of the sakin alphabet, which is pronounced. Here it is not pronounced. So this, some books do a this mess, which are not particular, or either it's a printing mistake, or the writer himself is not qualified to know the delicacies of the Arabic grammar. He just wrote, mixes up the signs. So those, if you, but according to the laws of tajweed, that's the difference, and that you need to keep in your mind. About the sukoon, there are two of the basic principles that we need to keep in mind about the sukoon. Should I erase this? The first principle to remember about sukoon that we are discussing is that a sukoon can't be, in Arabic, can't be on the beginning alphabet. That's impossible. You can never find the sukoon in Arabic on the beginning alphabet of the word, because we can't start the words with a sukoon according to Arabic grammar. There are some other languages that have words starting from a sukoon. Even in some of the languages in Pakistan, we have words starting with a sukoon. But in Arabic, you can't find a single word in the language that starts with a sukoon. The first beginning alphabet of any word can never have a sukoon on top of it. The first beginning alphabet of every word has to have either a dhamma or a fatha or a kasra. The first beginning alphabet can never have a sukoon in Arabic. That's the law that you need to remember about sukoon. So the second obvious, very obvious outcome of this law would be any alphabet having a sukoon, any sakin, an alphabet that has a sukoon is called sakin. I just told you here. Any sakin alphabet, that means an alphabet that has a sukoon sign on top of it, any sakin alphabet must be after a mutaharrik alphabet. What is a mutaharrik? Remember I told you this is a haraka. Harakat is the plural, and these are the harakat, dhamma and fatha and the kasra. These signs are called harakat. And any alphabet having a dhamma is called mazmoom. An alphabet having a fatha is called maftuh. An alphabet having a kasra under it is called maksood. There's another word for all these three combined. Because all these three combined, fatha, dhamma and kasra, are harakat. So any alphabet that has any of these three is called mutaharrik. Mutaharrik means an alphabet having one of the three harakat. And three harakat are these. So an alphabet in Arabic is either silent or sakin, or mutaharrik. If you want, you can say like this.
an alphabet in the Arabic language is either mutaharrik or it's sakin or it is silent, and you know it's a silent alphabet.
One of the three. Either it has one of the three harakat, fatha, dhamma, kasra, we can call it madmum, or we can call it maftu, or we can call it maksur, or you can use a generic statement which includes all the three. You can say it's a mutaharrik alphabet. It has one of the three harakat, or it's sakin, or it's silent. So the second rule is very clear in the light of the first rule. The first rule says a sukoon can't be on the beginning alphabet. Any word, you take any word of Arabic language, the beginning alphabet can never have sukoon. It has to have one of the three harakat. You cannot start speaking in Arabic from a sukoon. You have to start speaking from a harakat. So the second law is obvious. So any sakin alphabet must be after a mutaharrik alphabet, of course. That's very clear. So for example, any word, you can say any word. So see, here is a word of Arabic, mazmoom. So the beginning alphabet has a fatha on top of the meme. It doesn't have a sukoon. It has a fatha. There's another example. The meme has another fatha. Here it says fatha. You can never start from a sakin alphabet. Yet there is a sakin alphabet here, but that's not the beginning of the word. So any sakin alphabet, it has to have some mutaharrik alphabet before it. Any sakin alphabet, fa is sakin. It has one mutaharrik alphabet before it. Kaf here is sakin. But there is another mutaharrik alphabet before it. Is it clear? Okay. I'll write down one ayat of Quran. And you bring it to me as a homework and let me know where there is a sukoon and where there is a jazm, where there is a silent sign. Ayat of Quran. In Ahsantum. أحسنتم لأنفسكم وإن أسأتم فلها. Another statement I'll write. This is from Surah Yasin. This one which I'm writing now is from Surah Yasin. قالوا طائركم معكم قالوا طائركم معكم. That's from Surah Yasin, and this is another ayat from another surah. So you have to write down where are the sakin alphabets and where are the alphabets which are silent. أولئك أصحاب النار.
That's the third ayat, fourth ayat. Inna nahnu nuhyil mauta wa naktubu ma qaddamu wa atharahum here you have to write down where are the silent letters, where are the sakin, which are the sakin and which are the silent. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin. And the next class we will talk about Al-Harakat al-Tawira, inshallah, and Al-Harakat al-Qasira. And also we will discuss, inshallah, Hamzatul Wasl and Hamzatul Qata, the two types of Hamzas. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi at-tahirin. Yeah, but you write it down so it makes a practice, because some of you maybe it's new for you. So it's good if you identify and just practice it.
Last line is Qadu
Ta'irukum Ma'akum. Ta'irukum Ma'akum. That's from Surah Yasin.